So yesterday my grandson read two parshas for his bar mitzvah. Yeah, thanks. And that was up in Carmiel. Baruch Hashem, he did us proud. And he read parshas Achrimos and parshas Kedoshim. So what I'd like to do today, before we move on to parshas Emor, which B'li Neder will try to tackle on Yom Shlishi, try to find the connection between Parshas Achrimos and Parshas Kedoshim, which is a typical endeavor, and then to try to connect it to Pirkei Avos, which we're reading this time of the year. And as you know, the period of Sfira is a period of Tikkun Amidos, as we call it. So the mitzvah that I want to focus your attention on today, first on a halachic level and then more on a hashkafic level, and perhaps we could just close the door, I'm sorry to bother you with that. Oh, thank you so much. Is if you open up to your chumashim, if you have the blue chumashim, to page 293, and in Perek Yud Zayin of Sefer Vayikra, in this case Pasuk Yud Gimel. And here the Torah in this context was speaking about the Iser of Dam, of Achilas Dam. And then it goes on to tell us something else about Dam. And that is a mitzvah. Usually we talk about Dam and we associate a Los Haseh with Dam, not to eat Dam. But here we also have a mitzvah say, which we want to understand with regard to Dam. Now notice that mitzvah that we're about to learn does not apply to a behemoth, but applies to birds, which are called ofos, and to chayos. Now in the case of a chayo, it's a little bit rare in our time, but in the case of an of, obviously that's very common. I know, how many people have ever done kisui adam in their lives? Yeah. Probably was an of, right? It wasn't a chayo.
So Rabbi, that applies to even chickens and
chickens, yeah. Farm. So for example, in some places...
Not a wild turkey, but...
Yeah, a turkey.
A chicken.
Right. In some places, when they do, what's it called? Kaparis, you know, sometimes when they sell the hens, you know, for kaparis, you can actually do kisui adam. They give you a chance to do it yourself. And then you make a bracha on it. It's really cool. So the makar for that is right here in our pasuk. Al kein amartu l'vnei Yisrael. And then it says, v'ish ish mi b'nei Yisrael min ager agar b'socham. Asher yatsu tzayid chaya o of, asher ye ochel. So we're talking about kosher animals, in this case birds or chayos. Now, if you want to talk about shechita on a chaya, David, are you comfortable there?
Yep.
Okay. So the, here you can have this if you'd like. So the most common, perhaps, shechita on a chaya would be a deer. I don't know if you, I've never seen shechita on a deer, but I ate venison once. I wasn't paying the bills. I mean, it was in a restaurant in New York called La Marais. You know, this is where the fancy people go. So,
no.
By the way, I wouldn't recommend.
No,
no, you got to develop a taste. It's an acquired taste. And I don't want to tell you what this little piece of meat costs. So that's called the mitzvah of kisui adam. And when the Torah says v'kiso bi'ofar, what we want to focus our attention on is number one, the concept of kisui. Why is it, try to find some meaning to this mitzvah of covering the dam? And number two, why offer? What's the significance of offer? Now, there's a famous principle with regard to mitzvos, which is called, David, maybe you don't mind just sort of, covering this up, and
yep.
Since we're doing covering today, we're not covering down, but okay. Does that make it a little bit more comfortable for you, maybe? Alright. So we're going to see how this ties into Parshas Kedoshim in just a minute, but first we want to talk about the following. There's a concept of theft with regard to mitzvahs. Which means that if I jump ahead and steal your mitzvah, I've actually stolen something from you. Now, of course, if I steal something from you, I have to pay its value if I can't return it. In the case of a mitzvah, I can't return the mitzvah to you. So therefore there's what's called a chiv tashlumei domim. For those of you who are learning a little Bava Kama, you'll know what I'm talking about. But suffice it to say that a gazlan has to pay the value of the object. Now, how do you evaluate a mitzvah? That's a little bit difficult. If I stole your mitzvah, I chapped around your mitzvah. You know, before you got a chance to do the kisei adam, I went in and I covered the dam. So what can you bill me for? How much can you collect from me? What is the value of the mitzvah? So if you take a look at the second source on your page, you'll see that that's a sugya in Masech Techulin. And the Gemara says, Maisa bi'echad sheshochat. Now the din is that the mitzvah of kisei adam is incumbent upon the shochet. But then v'kadam chavero, his friend came along before he got a chance to implement that mitzvah, v'kisa. And he covered the dam with the offer. This is a story the Gemara tells us. The chivo Rav Gamliel lite lo yud zehuvim kesef.
That's a lot of money.
Yeah, it's a massive amount of money. You know, mitzvahs don't come cheap. They have a good value on the market, and they're worth yud zehuvim. Now, how did Rav Gamliel come up with this yud zehuvim? That's a boggling question, very difficult to answer. But, you know, a good Jew sometimes answers one question with another question. So we're going to ask another question. And that is the question of the Chassam Sofer, which Bali Neder we're going to study. And that is, how can you talk about evaluating a mitzvah? A mitzvah is something which, according to the Tanakh itself, is invaluable. It's endless. It's infinite. There's nothing in this world that can size up to the mitzvah as far as the reward we get in the next world. And the Chassam Sofer proves this from a pasuk in Tanakh. The pasuk says, "Ora chayim pen tefales v'chol chafatzim lo yishru bo," which means that no object in this world can be given a value that's equal to that of a mitzvah. Because if you were to give up all your possessions, it wouldn't be on the scale as valuable as one single mitzvah. Because a mitzvah, that's what we say, that a mitzvah gives a person a portion in an infinite world of Olam Haba. And all of this world, this Olam Hazeh, is not even worth one mitzvah in Olam Haba. I mean, if we only had that attitude when we did mitzvahs and appreciated it, would be tremendous. What an impact it would have on us. But be that as it may, the Chassam Sofer right here in number 3 asks the following question. L'chora nira, lo schar shivay mitzvah o abracha. It cannot be that Rav Gamliel was evaluating a mitzvah when he came up in Yud Zehuvim. Or for that matter, even the bracha on a mitzvah. Because again, if I steal your mitzvah, Chassam, then you lose the bracha as well. He says, Chalila, how can you say such a thing? Mi yochel l'shayer, who can come and evaluate orchas chayim? The word chayim here means the world to come, that life in the world to come. Pen tifoles, tifoles is miloshon, to weigh it on a scale. V'kol chafatzim lo yishruvo. Even if you put all your material possessions, imagine, you know, the President of the United States today is a very wealthy man. They say that he's not taking a salary. I don't know if there's any truth to that. But, you know, if you and I were elected president, we'd want to collect a salary. You have to be as rich as Donald Trump, you know, to give up on your salary. You know, here in the ALC, it wouldn't make much of a difference, you know. But it wouldn't impress anybody, you know. It's not even a peter, you know what I'm saying? But in any event, so he says that if you took all your possessions of the world, no matter how wealthy you were, and you put on one side of the scale, it would be outweighed by one mitzvah. But now that I'm so far, I don't know if you know what a genius he was, he says, forget it. I don't even have to convince you that this is not the evaluation of a mitzvah based on the fact that a mitzvah is invaluable and it's infinite. I can convince it to you in another way. Why? Matzorach l'shalim lo hefseido. You want to tell me that I lost yud zehuvim with the equivalent of 10 zehuvim kesef? Halo choshav lasos mitzvah. The shochet had intention of covering the dam. V'nenas v'lo aso. And because he was prevented by circumstances beyond his control, somebody chapped around the mitzvah before him, that's called ones. You know, we have a principle called ones rachmona patre. You know, you can't obligate me for the loss of a mitzvah. But he says even more than that. He says, Nenas v'lo aso, Maila olav hakosav kilu aso. This is a fantastic principle. Are you familiar with this principle? That if a person wanted to do a mitzvah, he was prevented from doing so, that he gets schar for that mitzvah. You never heard of it.
Yeah.
This is based on Rabbeinu Yonah. I'll give it to you in a nutshell, because this is a whole shiur unto itself. But you know, Rabbeinu Yonah wrote a super commentary on Avos. You know, those of us who are learning Avos now are very heavy into Rabbeinu Yonah. You can't move from the spot, you know, in Avos without looking into Rabbeinu Yonah. He gives you pshat and everything. So there's a mishnah at the beginning of Avos that talks about Maisav Merubim Michachmasa, which literally means that his actions exceed beyond his wisdom. So Rabbeinu Yonah asks the following question. He says, if he has a limited amount of knowledge, how can he have maisim that go beyond his knowledge? He doesn't even know that he's commanded. You know, imagine, take the case of someone who was not brought up in a background, he wasn't taught Torah, and tell me he has great maisim, you know, the maisim merubim, but he doesn't have chachma, meaning he doesn't have the basic knowledge. So how can he possibly be rewarded for mitzvahs? So Rabbeinu Yonah has an unbelievable yisod. He says that if a person accepts upon himself a commitment, a sincere, absolute commitment, that whatever he will learn in Chochmas HaTorah, he will implement, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives him schar for all those mitzvahs, even though he hasn't done them. And it could be that by the time he leaves this world, he would never have implemented those mitzvahs, because he didn't get a chance to learn all the mitzvahs. He'll still get schar for those mitzvahs. How much more so in the case of a person who knew the mitzvah, he had the opportunity to the mitzvah, and somebody grabbed it away from him, says the Chasam Sofer, certainly, malolav hakosav, the Torah will consider as if he did the mitzvah. So why should the chotev, the one who grabbed the kisei adam away from the shochet, be obligated to pay damages here under the law of nezikin, if in any event the shochet, since he was prevented by circumstances beyond his control, is going to get schar for the mitzvah?
Excuse me, can I ask you something? Moshe was supposed to do the mitzvah of taking Joseph's bones to the promised land, and he couldn't make the promised land, and Joshua got the credit.
Right, but Moshe also gets the schar of the mitzvah, because he tried to do the mitzvah.
It never says that. He says,
right, that's what Chasam Sofer says, that if you couldn't do it, that's, for example, Moshe Rabbeinu said, I want to come into Eretz Yisrael in order to sanctify the land. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu answers him that you will get credit as if you went into Eretz Yisrael for all the mitzvahs, because Moshe Rabbeinu, had he entered into Eretz Yisrael, he would have sanctified the land. He gets credit for all the mitzvahs that we do, because it's considered as if he sanctified the land. So the bottom line is, says the Chasam Sofer, he doesn't understand what is Rabbi Lazar talking about, Rabbi Gamliel, excuse me, when he says he has to pay him 10 zehuvim. He says, Lav midei chasrele. He didn't remove from him anything. In other words, the schar mitzvah he's going to get any event. Oh. He says the following. This is a whole new chiddush. You see the word ach on line 5. You have to press the return button there. Huh. You know, because that's the answer. He says the following. Hefresh yesh bein osa mitzvah umekabel schar, onenas velo aso umekabel schar. He says, let's compare the following two scenarios. Reuven fulfilled the mitzvah and he gets rewarded thereof. Shimon wanted to do the mitzvah, he was prevented through extenuating circumstances, and he gets schar. There's a fundamental difference between the two. He says, zesha osa. The person who implements the mitzvah, oved haya b'simcha u'betuv lev, he was enjoying the mitzvah, he did it with a very great gusto, with a sense of joy, v'niskar al zeh, and he'll be rewarded for that as well. No, it's not just for the mitzvah in a dry sense, but also for the simcha that he puts into the mitzvah.
Even though he stole it.
And he, what?
Even though he stole it.
No, we're talking about the first case now. We're going to get to the stolen case in a minute. He's comparing the following two scenarios. Reuven wanted to do the mitzvah and successfully implemented it, and he did it with a simcha and a tuv lev. Shimon wanted to do the mitzvah, and it was taken away from him. Now he goes on to Shimon. And he describes Shimon. Zeshe nenas, in Shimon's case, instead of having a sense of joy and simcha, just the opposite. Mitztayer al zeh. He has a sense of frustration. Shelo zocho lavod Hashem. That he could have had the simcha of serving Hashem, and it was robbed, it was stolen from him. Umekabel schar shamayim, he gets schar from the heavens, not only as if he had did the mitzvah, but even more than that, al tsa'aro, he gets schar for the tsa'ar, the fact that that's what Chazal say. Again, if I could just insert something before we get to the punchline of the Chazal so far, it says about Yaakov Avinu, and we say it in the Haggadah Shel Pesach, he was anus al pi adibur. You remember that he was in Eretz Kanaan, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Lech Reid Mitzrayim, you have to go down to Mitzrayim. So we say, Lech Reid, go down, anus al pi adibur. What does anus al pi adibur mean? He had to leave Eretz Yisrael because HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded him to do so. And the answer I heard once from my Rebbe is that he felt a tsar. He felt down. You know, sometimes a person can't do a mitzvah and he feels good about it. Oh, I got, you know, I was exempted from a mitzvah because the circumstances beyond my control. No, that's not what Yaakov felt. Yaakov felt that he was lacking Eretz Yisrael. He would leave the land, it would be missing to him. Anyone who has to leave the land, unfortunately, is going to be lacking the land. So he feels a sense of tsar. Well, now let's get back to the Chasam Sofer. He says, Nimtza, it turns out, Afal pi shel inyan schar shamayim, even though as far as the heavens are concerned, ein hefresh, there's no difference, because in Reuven's case, he successfully did the mitzvah, get credit for the simcha and the tuv lev that he had. In Shimon's case, he'll get credit for the mitzvah plus the tsar that he felt, so that all equalized itself. Mikomakom, but nevertheless, tsar de gufa ika hefresh. The difference here between Reuven and Shimon is that whereas Reuven had pleasure in this world because he enjoyed serving Hashem, Shimon, on the other hand, had a sense of tzar, of being anguished by the fact that he was denied doing the mitzvah. That he calls tzar gufo. He says, therefore, Hanisha Rav Gamliel, what Rav Gamliel said, that he's got to pay him asar yizuhuvim, that has nothing to do with the schar mitzvah. He's going to get the schar mitzvah, and he's, even if he's mitzvah, he'll be rewarded in the next world for the tzar that he felt that he was denied the opportunity. But the whole difference is in this world. And in this world, a person who's denied to do a mitzvah feels a sense of tzar. Oh, I wish I could have done the mitzvah, like Yaakov, you know, has to leave Eretz Yisrael. He's therefore Hanisha Rangamliel imposed upon him a payment, what we call Tashlume Nezikin, of Asara Zehuvim, of Ten Zehuvim, Lefishir Tzara de Gufa. That the basic level of Tzara de Gufa, the person feels anguish, is Yud Zehuvim. Again, that already requires that we study more of Hilchas Nezikin, why Yud Zehuvim is exact Shiur, the exact evaluation of how much Tzar Gufa is worth. But it comes out of court because I'm so for a whole new shot in this Gemara. That when we talk about paying Yud Zehuvim for someone who stole a mitzvah from you, it's not because of the Schar mitzvah that he stole from you. You're okay with the Schar mitzvah. You'll get rewarded. And not only that, you'll get rewarded for the Tzar that you feel because you're mitzvah that I couldn't do the mitzvah. But the Tzar de Gufa is something that you feel in real time down in this earth, in Olam Hazeh, and for that he can demand payment. So that's the chiddush of the Chasam Sofer. Brilliant chiddush. All right, now we're already rolling. We're on the roll now as far as the mitzvah of Kisi Adam. The mitzvah of Kisi Adam now becomes the paradigm for stealing a mitzvah from someone if you chaparai the mitzvah before he does it. And we'll come back to that in a few minutes. And now we have another concept in Kisi Adam, where Kisi Adam is also a paradigm to teach us a rule. You know, the Rambam codifies the laws of Kisi Adam in Hilchas Shechita. And at the end of Hilchas Shechita, the Rambam gives us a little bit of what we call inspiration or philosophy. That's the Rambam's derech. In other words, if you want to know the Rambam's philosophy, you have to read a different work of his, which he wrote in his older age. And that's called the Mora Lenevuchim. But if you want to get a little taste of the Mora Lenevuchim way before it was written, probably 20 years earlier, then you look at the end of each set of halachas, And the Rambam adds a little bit of inspiration. So, for example, Hilchas Tshuva, Hilchas Me'ila, Hilchas Korban Pesach, you know, he always gives a little bit of philosophy at the end. And here at the end of Hilchas Shechita, when he gets to the laws of Kisi Adam, he adds a little bit of inspiration. The Gemara tells us in Masechta Chulin that when you machasa the dam, you shouldn't do so with your foot. Now, it's very easy to kick the dirt onto the dam. Why should you bend over? And Gemara says, no. That's called, in the language of Shas, Bizui Mitzvah, to sort of like insult the mitzvah. So the Rambam writes, Ukishem Machase, when he covers the dam, Lo Yechase Beraglov, Ela Biyodo, he should use his hand, pick up the Obisakin, that's also a very sophisticated way, you take Ofar and you have it collected, and you with a knife, you push it onto the dam, Obikli, or they had a special kli that they used to gather together the Ofar, but not with his foot. Why? Because if he kicks it, Kadesh lo yinogbo minig bizayin, that's already insulting to the mitzvah. V'yu mitzvos bizuyos olav. So now the Rambam asks himself the following question. At the end of the day, what am I doing? I'm covering the dam with offar. I mean, do I have to get all nervous about bizui mitzvah? Why is it, who's getting insulted here if I, instead of putting the offar in a kli and I pour it over the dam, I kick it with my foot? I mean, that seems to be the quickest way of doing it. Expediency. No, says the Rambam. She'ena kovod li atzman shel mitzvos. You know, if you would isolate the mitzvah per se, as if it had a certain being or personality to it, that wouldn't be the issue. The issue is not that I'm insulting the mitzvah, ella, but rather l'misha tziva bahen baruch hu. It's rather that through the mitzvah, I am thanking and respecting and honoring he who gave the mitzvah, who mandated me. The mitzvah is only secondary, it only plays an intermediary role.
It's an agent rather than...
Correct, it's an agent. It's an emtza'i and not a tachlit. You know, it's not interested here in giving kavod to the mitzvah as an end unto itself, but rather to the mitzvah, the person who mandated me, the commander-in-chief. So through the mitzvah, I'm giving kavod to the commander-in-chief. And the Rambam goes on to say that when Hashem gave us these mitzvos, He saved us from darkness. You know, there are people who live in the dark. He calls them memashmishim b'choshech. And Hitzilonu, Hashem saved us. Ve'arach osanu, and He organized for us. You know, when you light a candle, again, today it's a little bit simpler because candles, you know, you buy them in a factory, they're manufactured, mass-produced. You know, you don't have to, but in the old days, they didn't have candles. It was a whole to-do to set up the candles. And this is always, when you talk about Arichas HaNer, that's always an indication of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who gives us Arichas HaNer. He gives us a way of organizing our life, Liyasher, HaMakashim. HaKashim are those things that are like glitches, you know, that prevent us and form barriers. VR and God reveals a light to us, Lahoros, Nesivos Hayosha, to teach us the way of goodness, righteousness, to be upstanding citizens. V'cheinu omer ner l'ragli dvarecha, this is the famous Kuf Yutes of David HaMelech. VR l'nesivasi, that the mitzvos become a ner. That's why called the mitzvah is always associated with a ner. Right, it says ner mitzvah v'torah or, that the ner is a mitzvah. Mitzvah meaning the mitzvah is like a light that takes us out of the darkness. We are enlightened by the mitzvahs. Now the question I just want to ask you is the following. Why of all mitzvahs in the Torah, you know, we have 613 mitzvahs, the one mitzvah that's going to teach us this important message about Lo tehe mitzvos bezuyas olav, that through the mitzvah would be machabed HaKadosh Baruch who gave us the mitzvah, Kisi Adam. Is it purely coincidental? I mean, obviously, here's where the question arises. You know, he can kick the dirt with his foot, and nobody's going to make a big to do about it. What's so terrible about that? But no, he should take the mitzvah approach it with a certain sense of awe and respect because he's being machabed HaKadosh Baruch Hu shetzivo b'kah. But is there something in the mitzvah of Kisi Adam that might shed a light on the fact that, A, this is the case where somebody stole the mitzvah and Rabbi Gamliel formulated the principle that he has to pay him Yud Zehuvim, as we saw in the Chasam Sofer, and number two, the fact that the Rambam uses Kisui Adam as the kickoff, you know, to teach us this principle that we have to respect the mitzvahs. What's in Kisui Adam? What's it all about? So first of all, you may say to me, well, it's only coincidental that Kisui Adam was singled out for these principles, but yet the Gemara in Shabbos quotes Rav Yosef, Avuan de Kulan Dam. Dam is a reference to the mitzvah of Kisui Adam. This becomes the paradigm of all mitzvahs, Kisui Adam. So Rav Yosef, I don't know how many people here knew about Kisui Adam before you came into this classroom. Let's assume you all did. But how many of you put any significance to Kisui Adam? I mean, honestly, I learned Kisui Adam when I was preparing for my smich exam many, many years ago. I don't want to tell you exactly how many. It was probably before you were born. But I never put any significance to it. So this is the opportunity for me to think about the mitzvah of Kisui Adam, which seems like such a secondary mitzvah and chas v'shalom insignificant, and yet to give it a certain status, avuah dekul adam, it becomes the paradigm for all mitzvahs. So in order to understand that, again we go back to the Chassam Sofer in the same place, but this is the second half of that same presentation of Chassam Sofer. He says the following. The Pasuk teaches us here in Kisui Adam, Shelo Yehei Mitzvos Bzuyos. And Rabbah in Masechta, Rav Yosef, excuse me, in Masechta Shabbos went as far as to tell us that this becomes Avuan de Kulan, it becomes the paradigm for all the mitzvahs. The Minei Alfinan, from here, from Kisui Adam, this humble mitzvah, we derive the conclusion universally regarding all mitzvahs that we have to treat the mitzvah with respect. Umayshna de Ramas Krahacha, why is it that the Torah chose here in Kisui Adam to give us this allusion to the fact that we have to treat the mitzvah with respect? V'yesh Lomar. And he says the following, that in order to understand this, we have to go back to another Rambam. This is the Rambam in the Mora Nevuchim. As I told you before, the Rambam wrote a philosophical work in which he tries to answer the question, what is the meaning of the mitzvahs? And of course, everything the Rambam says is just speculation. The Rambam has no proof. But based on his understanding, his wisdom, his historical knowledge, he understood the mitzvah in a certain historical context. The Rambam says the following. Oh, I'm sorry, this is the Ramban. The Rambam also has something very similar, but this is the Ramban. He says the following. Hayu ha-mitzriyim va-kazdiyim. The nations of Mesopotamia, Egypt, and Kazdim, these were nations. Shayu regilim lishpoch dam al pnei asode. In their cult, they had this paganistic behavior pattern in which they would spill dam. We'll soon see that it's specifically the dam of a chaya onto the ground, and that would fertilize the ground. And then v'lesov v'lechol sham. And then they would gather together after they spilled the dam, and they would eat there. They would have a festive meal right there.
A picnic
right there, afenart, as we say, on the spot where they spilled all this dam. The omrim, and they would declare shaharuchos v'ashedim miskatsim al ruach chamimus hadam. There's somehow the various powers of evil, you know, the spooks we call them, of the shadim would gather together based on the hot blood that was spilled on the sodah. And then Baal achai, this is the blood of an animal. Umagid lahem asidos. And these Shadim and Ruchos, these various spirits, would reveal the future. Again, this is all part of an idolatrous paganistic culture. Now, very often, according to the Rambam and the Ramban, the Torah gave us mitzvos in order lafuke, in order to exclude and contrast with the ways of the idol worshippers. And here's another example. He says, Al-Kain Tziva Kodesh Baruch Hu B'chayaviov Sherov Pamim Nishpach Domim B'Sada. In most cases, they used to take the blood of birds that they collected and blood of chayos, these larger animals, and they would spread them over the sod. Again, it's not clear based on our limited knowledge of idol worship why the blood of behemos was not sufficient, but that was the cult that it came from, these two species of animals.
Excuse me, Rabbi?
Yes.
When we do shechita, is there a requirement to catch the blood in some type of kli, or is it allowed to just spill?
Yeah, it could just spill on the ground, and then you have to cover it again if it's shechita of an oaf. He says, v'yimkein l'chora hayamashma. Now, basically what we're doing by covering over the blood with afar, as opposed to the Ovdei Avodah Zarah, I mean, these Kishufim and Machashvim, they would leave the blood exposed because, again, they wanted the heat of the blood to rise and then these Ruchos and Shedim would gather together. We want to do the opposite. We want to sort of embarrass and humiliate their worship, their cult. Like, for example, we find that in the case of Korban Pesach, you know, the Tleh, well, what's a Tleh in English?
A ram.
The rams were worshipped by the mitzvah, and if we take the ram and we shecht it, right? We want to do something which is the exact opposite. Or, for example, the Ovdei Avodah Zarah worship the sawyer. We send the sawyer off la'azazel. You know, we push him off the tzuk, you know, until it breaks. These are all things. He says, in Cain, l'chora hayamashma. If I would ask you the following question, you have two choices of doing kisei adam. You want to do it in a very sophisticated way, b'tzura adina, you know, you cover it with your keli or with your hands, or do you want to be mezalzel in that dam, that same dam that they used for their ruchos and shedim? He says, adarab yechasev regel. Why shouldn't he kick the? He should kick the offer with his foot. Why? Linog b'zayin b'meshenogu heim kova. They made a big cult out of it. This was a kind of a worship which they honored and they made glory out of it. Whenever we find in Avodah Zarah, the Torah always tells us to make fun of Avodah Zarah, to break it down. V'yemnichnas b'yad, v'yemnichasa b'yad. If we do it with the hands, nira, it looks like no saying kova la'dam. We're giving respect to the dam because the dam is going to help us understand the future. It's like a crystal ball. Is lachain kosava rambam shalola mitzvah anu noslim kavod. If our actions vis-a-vis the mitzvah were to be measured by the mitzvah itself, begufa shal mitzvah, then on the contrary, let's do it in the best way possible by being mezalzel, being mevayesh the avodah zarah, and kicking the blood, kicking the offer onto the blood. Ella says the Rambam, no. This becomes a paradigm of kavod for a mitzvah. L'mishev tzivo sanu. Now that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told us to cover the offer, then covering the offer becomes a fulfillment of God's will. It's a mitzvah. And that has the power of awe, of light to it. And it's going to come and take us out of the darkness of Avodah Zarah into the light of Hashem's mitzvos. And therefore, we have to treat the mitzvah with kavod. So it's unbelievable. The Rambam is saying the following. You can look at a mitzvah in two different ways. You can look at the mitzvah inherent in the mitzvah, and its meaning and its significance to call its achievement. Or you can look at the mitzvah as a means to the end of fulfilling the will of the commander of the mitzvah. So the Rambam says that's what it means that you have to give kavod to the mitzvah. And I'll prove it to you, says the Rambam. Because where does the halacha derive itself from? Which parasha in the Torah that I have to give kavod to the mitzvah? From kisei adam. And here's where the mitzvah per se should have drawn the conclusion that in this case I should be anything but mechaved the mitzvah, since I'm trying to, you know, to be very condescending and negative.
Disrespectful.
And disrespectful to the Avodah Zarah cult, that they took the blood and they wanted to use that blood for their purposes. We should be mechaseh b'raglayim. Let's be mevayish the Avodah Zarah. So as far as the mitzvah itself is concerned, when you look inherently at the mitzvah and its purpose, you would have come to the conclusion that adarava, be mevazeh the mitzvah. This is a way that we inculcate in ourselves an anti-Avodah Zarah feeling. Instead of giving cover to Avodah Zarah, we do the opposite. Ah, says the Rambam, no, here's where the Torah tells us a chiddush. And what was the chiddush of the Torah? That we don't look at the mitzvah per se. The mitzvah represents the whole constellation of fulfilling God's will. And we have to do that in order to give kavod to the one who commanded us, and therefore we want to do the mitzvah in the best possible way. Now at this point, Rabosai, we want to make a little bit of a transition, as I said at the outset, to Pirkei Avos. Because these are the weeks in which we're working on our midos. And at the very beginning of Pirkei Avos, as you know, with regard to the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah, the Mishnah tells us that they had three super principles. We're going to focus our attention on one of them, the last of the three, Asu Siyag LaTorah. What is a siyag?
A fence,
exactly. You want to build fences around the Torah to avoid possible, if we come too close to the Avera, we might violate the Avera. And this, I believe, is a great introduction to Parashas Kedoshim. If you take a look in Avos Rabbi Nosson says that this concept of Siyag is not just limited to us, meaning you and I, we have to create fences and stay far away from Avero so we shouldn't be tempted. But not only that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made Siyagim LeTorah. Adam Arisha made a Siyag. Now that wasn't so successful. The Torah makes a Siyag. Moshe Rabbeinu makes a Siyag. Etc, etc. So where do we find that the Torah itself makes a Siyag? And the pasuk in our parasha, Parashas Achrimo, says, "Vel isha benidas tum asalo sikra." In other words, you're not allowed to even come close contact with a woman who's in a state of nida. And you might think, "Well, I'm only expressing my good feelings, and she's how beloved she is, and I kiss her and I hug her." Or maybe even I don't even do that, no physical contact, but I'm just schmoozing with her about Dvar B'Talim, there's no need for it. Talmud Lomo Lo Sikra. Lo Sikra means stay away. Don't get too close. If you get too close, then you never know where it's going to lead you. So the Torah itself made a siyag lidvarel. Tosus, by the way, at the beginning of Pesachim, claims that Bal Yirah Bal Yimotzeh, which enjoins us from owning chametz during the 7 days of Pesach, is itself a siyag to prevent us from eating the chametz. If we have it around, we might come to eat it. And lo bedili inish minei. You find, for example, the Isur Yichud, that a man and woman are not allowed to be alone together if there's an error of a relationship in one private room. That too is a siyag. So we have many cases where the Torah itself imposed the siyag. And what's the source for the siyag? Where's it in the Torah? Right here in Parashas Achrimos. Not just in the pasuk Lo Sikra Vel Isha B'Tumasa, but also, and more important, in the pasuk Ushmartim Es Mishmarti. What does it mean, Ushmartim Es Mishmarti? So the Gemara Yevamah says, Asu Mishmeres L'Mishmarti. So here we have it, Rabbo. So we have the Mishnah at the beginning of Pirkei Avos, which again is giving us a message for this time period during the Sfira, which is a period of Tikkun HaMidos, where we have to improve ourselves. And how do we improve ourselves? The answer is Asu Siyag LaTorah. Make a Siyag for the Torah. Says Avos Rav Nosson, that's the way the Torah already set the precedent. The Torah itself set up a Siyag L'Dvareha. And that we find expressing itself in two ways here in Parashas Achrimos. Number one, in the Parash of Arayos, it says, El Isha B'Tumas Nidosalo Sikrav. And number two, the Torah says, V'yasu Mishmeres L'Mishmarti, V'shamartim Es Mishmarti, Asu Mishmeres L'Mishmarti. Okay. So now we jump ahead to Parashas Kedoshim. We've really set the tone now for Parashas Kedoshim. As I said at the outset, you know, everybody wants to know what's the connection between Achrimos and Kedoshim. And here we have it. Because what is Kedoshim?
Mashgiach used to say that Sfira is a Siyag for Shavuos.
It's a Sfira for Shavuos.
That it's a Tikkun HaMidos. If you wait until you start on Shavuos, it's too late.
Too late. You have to count in advance. In advance. Correct. Now the Ramchal, as you know, wrote many works. Perhaps his raison d'etre, you know, his greatest work, and the one that he's most famous for, is called the Mesilas Yesharim, and it's all an analysis of one brisa of a Pinchas Ben Yair, where he tells you the various madregos and which leads to what. And one of the various midos that he gets to is called Precious, which means to separate. lifrosh. And the Ramchal points out that lifrosh, by very definition, means to separate yourself from something that you're allowed to come close to. You accept upon yourself a level that's beyond the required level. It's kind of like similar to what concept we've been talking about today, where you accept upon yourself to stay away. A siag. Are you with me? A siag, right? We've been talking about a siag, to stay away from something far away because you never know where it'll lead you. And that's what precious is all about. And precious is going to be the introduction to piety, because you can't get to piety without precious. And what does precious mean? Precious means that mashe mitztarech el ha'adam l'sheyeh tzadik, that before he can talk about getting to the level of a tzadik, he first has to be a poresh. And when he fulfills the precious, he becomes a chassid. He says, what is precious? Kadesh atzmecha b'mutalcha. Sanctify yourself with that which is permitted to you. And that's what the word precious means. To be poresh doesn't mean to separate yourself from something that you have to separate yourself. That's not called precious. In that case, you're not striving to reach levels of chassidus and tzidkus. There, if the Torah says stay away, then that's exactly what you have to do. That's me'ikra din. That's not called precious. But rather, to be poresh means to laharchik atzmo min adover, to stay far away from something. Sha'oser al atzmo dover heter. And by staying away, far away, he's taking upon himself something that's allowed as if it were not allowed. He's creating for himself an isur. That's called prisha. Kadesh atzmecha bimutar lecha. Kadesh atzmecha bimutar lecha. And it means that why does he do this act of staying so far away from something which is permitted? The Torah permits it because kadesh lo yifka beisur atzma. Because he realizes that on a personal level, if he gets too close, he's going to violate the Isur. So every person has to know thyself. Right? That was Socrates' first principle of morality. You have to know thyself. You have to know what for you might lead you to a situation where you'd be tempted to fall in. Sometimes you fall in inadvertently. You didn't do it deliberately, but you came too close. You know, like the famous mashal of the person who goes to the well, and he's curious to see what's inside the well. You know, there's a ditch. So he comes all the way up, and then a wind blows him and he falls down. Had he stayed away, if he wasn't so curious, trouble is we're all curious. So we want to come very close. Today, you know, they talk about, I don't want to go into detail here right now, about the internet and, you know, so the various ways of being poreish from the internet. Now they have these filters, you know about that? But some people go very far. They don't even trust the filter, because who most of love whom a farikla? The same guy who put the filter in, he's going to remove the filter. Anyway, you have to really set for yourselves certain gedarim, you know, certain precious and kadish atzmecha b'mutlcha. And you have to know what could possibly lead or create evil for you and violations, and therefore stay away from it. He says that there are three basic levels. There's isur, what the Torah prohibited. Number two, there's siag, which the Torah itself gave us siag. Like, for example, nazirus. Why does a person accept upon himself to be a nazir? He feels that the Yetzirah is getting the best of him, so he accepts upon himself to be a nazir as a matter of precious and kedusha. Not only that...
To abstain from all alcohol.
Correct, alcohol, and to stay away from any kind of tumor, anything that might be metamehim. Also, instead of looking so beautiful by faputzing himself and cutting his hair all the time, he looks a little bit unkempt. Various ways in which he strengthens himself. That's called precious. Nobody asked him to accept upon himself to be a nazir. Has anybody here ever met a nazir? Mm-hmm. I'm the only one?
You met one?
Yeah. Did you meet a Nazir? Maybe we met the same Nazir.
In Nalon Shvut.
Oh, I didn't meet the Nazir in Nalon Shvut. I met the Nazir that was Rav Kook's son-in-law. When he was sitting Shiva on Rechov HaChavatzel, and I came to meet him. I always wanted to see him. You know, he had hair all the way down.
I didn't know a couple of years, but I can't say I avoided alcohol.
Right. I wouldn't encourage you to be, you know, to avoid alcohol, especially here, you know, we like to have kiddushim and so forth. And he's nikrachote. Then there's something called mishmaros. Remember we had the pasuk in our parasha, shmarta mishmarti, which means the Chazal instituted all sorts of mishmaros. So these are all objective, whether it's in the Torah itself, the Torah says don't eat this, Or it's more subjective, but the Torah says if you want to separate yourself and make a guard and a barrier, then accept upon yourself the zero. So the Rabbanan said, this is actually mutter according to the Torah, but we're going to tell you not to do it. And then there's the subjective kind of isur. Herchekim shemutal al kol parashu parash lasos liyos kones betok shalo ubone gedarim liatzma. Then there's the subjective element of preachers where you figure out, you know, what's the proper behavior for you and how to make a gedder of preachers for yourself. And therefore you stay away from something which is technically mutter. Other Jews can stay, don't have to stay away from it. You have to stay away from it. After all, the Torah gave us so many surim. Why do you accept upon yourself additional surim? It's not enough that the Torah gave you all these prohibitions. So the answer is, Chazal understood that sometimes you have to make a mishmeres. There's a pressing need. You know, if all things were equal and we were all tzaddikim, we would not have to make these gedarim and these precious and siyagim. But when we come to the reality of it, we need it. And therefore, it becomes absolutely necessary. We should be prushim. Okay. Now he says the following. We're up to the paragraph that starts with Nevar Ato HaPrishus HaTov. And that's what, hopefully we're going to get to Rav Yosef Engel here. I'm moving at the speed of light, so we get to the punchline of this year. He says, "Ki hine ein lecha tainug olami ashalo yimshach akrav eza chet bar kefo." He says, if you get too involved in the hedonistic pleasures of life, it's going to bring you to Iser. He says, if you dedicate yourself totally to eating and drinking, who knows at the end what you'll be eating and drinking. And not only that, he says, "Mili akeres," when you fill yourself up and you're satiated beyond belief, and people just keep stuffing themselves. He says he gets to prikas all. He gets to the point where he's no longer paying attention to the all, to the responsibility, the yoke of heaven. And then if he drinks too much intoxicating beverages, it might lead him to immorality in znus, in the sexual area. And Kolshken, he says, how much more so biyosa adam margil atzbo lizbo mechilus, to see it becomes part of his lifestyle. And then if on one occasion he doesn't get the food that he eats, he's so addicted, he's in a state of pain, you know, in denial and withdrawal symptoms, with days in it, machnis atzbo v'tokef amal schora, then he works 24/7 in order to make enough money to enjoy all these pleasures that he got so used to, so that his shulchan will be full of all the beautiful delicacies. And at the end of the day, if he doesn't make enough money to supply all those pleasures, he may steal money. He may come to take a false oath in order to abscond with someone else's money. He removes himself from Torah and Avodah and Tefillah because he's dedicated to all these pleasures. And all these are situations which warrant precious. Stay away. The Ramban on Kedoshim Tiyu says that if you just indulge endlessly, you become gluttonous, you become what's called a novel Birshus HaTorah. It becomes a repulsive kind of behavior pattern. It's going to have an impact on your soul. And therefore, Tira Zosi Tachbula Gdol Adol Lamanti Notzel B'Yitzro Kevan Shebiyoso B'Esek HaAvera Koshal Of Lenatzko L'Chab Shoso. Once he gets close to the Avera, it's very hard for him to battle and engage the Yitzhahara, you know, in a face-to-face collision. Therefore, when he's far away from the Yetzirah, he leaves himself far away, and then the Yetzirah has it very difficult to get a hold of him. And now perhaps we can begin to understand the insights of the Meshech Chochma, Amir Simcha, in his very famous presentation in Parashas Bo. There's a very new, novel idea here that touches on all the years of Golus. We have a structure, a hierarchy of averos and mitzvos. We have averos that are very severe and they're strict and they're, you know, you can't budge, you can't deviate one iota. And then we have averos that are less strict and less severe. They come under this kind of a concept of kedoshim to you, of living a life of kedusha. And if you were to ask any Jew walking on the street who knows anything about Torah, which has to be, you know, if we're guilty and if we go into galus, if there's a punishment of diaspora and exile that's imposed upon the Jewish people for violating the Torah, which kind of category were we violating? Were we violating an Iser, an Avera Mamish, a strict Avera that's prohibited by the Torah? Or no, we were violating some sort of a siag and some sort of mishmeres that the Rabbanan instituted. Obviously, if we're guilty of sin and we're going to be punished so harshly, it's got to be because we violated the Torah itself. And that's what Rav Meir Simcha wants to tell us we're making a grave error. And he says the following. Hamizbonen, if you look in the parasha of Yetzias Mitzrayim, you will find that the Torah describes the Jewish people as goy mikarev goy. We were virtually indiscernible from the nations of the world. We did not fulfill the mitzvahs of the Torah. Halolu of the avodah zarah, halolu of the avodah zarah. We, like the Mitzrayim, were violating avodah zarah. And not only that, Chazal say that they didn't fulfill the mitzvah of Bris Milah. I mean, again, later on they did, but at this point they didn't. However, oddly enough, they were very meticulous about something else. Lo shinu es shmam, lo shinu es malbusham, lo shinu es lishonam. They didn't change their language, their dress code. They didn't speak like the Mitzrim. They didn't dress like the Mitzrim. They didn't have the names, adopt those names that were popular to the Mitzrim. You remember last week we spoke about some Italian by the name of Hishio, what was his name? If you were with me last time, and Guman, all those strange names. So we didn't take on those names. He says, here we are, we're in Mitzrayim, we basically have forfeited the Jewish observance of mitzvahs, we're at the level almost of the Mitzrayim of Avodah Zarah. But what do we have? What is that? What do we have on the credit line? Lo shinu es malbusham. Wonderful. But how does that shine a candle to the fact that we worship Avodah Zarah? He says that there's a fundamental principle that's going on over here. Take a look, for example, at Golus Bavel, he says. In Golus Bavel, the Jewish people observe the Torah meticulously. However, asyogim vagedorim avru. They violated the siyogim and the gedorim. Now let's understand again, from the perspective of our parasha, what is siyogim and gedorim? Remember, this is the parasha of siyogim and gedorim. The Torah tells us, ubechukoseim lo telechu. Don't imitate the goyim. You and I might think, what's the big deal? So they play sports and they do athletics and they have their great, you know, sports stadiums. We'll have the same. They worship, you know, the artists of the world. So we also love art and so forth and so on. Why not? Why bechukoseim lo telechu? And basically what the Torah is telling us is to be very careful, because once you start imitating the goyim, you don't know where it would lead you. So the Jews in Eretz Mitzrayim, of course, they on the level of Gufei Torah, they weren't very observant. But nevertheless, they held on to those things of Bechukoseim Lo Telechu to set themselves up as an independent, separate nation and not mix with the Goyim. But in Golus Bavel, the exact opposite took place. They were very meticulous about observing the Torah, but nevertheless, it says they were medabrim ashdudis shinu eshmam. They spoke the local vernacular. They changed their names. Hischatnu im goyi aretz. At the end, they mixed and they married into the nations of the world. And all this is codified by Ezra in Sefer Nehemiah. Vehine b'yemei heyos Yisrael bagola. And the exact opposite is true, that when we're in Golus, you know what's so critical? What's going to keep us alive and maintain our existence even in the exile? He has yogim vagedorim. It's what we have here in Parashas Achremos. Bechukoseim lo telechu. Shelo yisarvu ben ha'amim. So that we don't mix with the other nations of the world. V'lachein, the Gemara says, this is at the end of the first parak of Masechta Shabbos, in one of the most complicated sugyas in Shas that everybody skips, It's called the Yudches Gzeros. It says that Afelio Eni Yochel Vatlan. There's no power on earth that can undermine those Yudches Gzeros because they were absolutely necessary of Siogim to keep us as a separate nation, maintain our independence so that we wouldn't intermarry and mix with the other Goyim. You find, for example, in the case of Avraham Avinu, it says that he was Mekayim Erev Tavshilin. And he was Mekayim other Derabbanans. And Shnios LaRayos, which are extensions of the illicit relationships that are prohibited by the Torah, Shnios LaRayos, the more distant relationships, the Gemara says, Vishmarti Mis Mishmarti, Asu Mishmeres L'Mishmarti. Again, deriving from Parshas Achrei, most of this principle that we have to stay away. So it's not enough that we don't have Chas V'Shalom a relationship with a woman who's an Erva, but we have to even extend that to other women and other categories of women who are not an Erva technically. And it says about Avraham Avinu, it says Ekev Asher Shomar Mishmarti. I have chosen Avraham Avinu because he was meticulous about Mishmarti. Ki yedativ l'man asher yitzave es bonaves b'nei beisu akum v'shomru derech Hashem. How, what is it that Avraham Avinu had a certain power to impact on his children, on his descendants throughout the generation so that they would be dedicated and loyal to Hashem? It was his ability, Avraham Avinu, to appreciate the Mishmeres, those siyagim, to stay away from even things that are technically permissible. And through that tremendous dedication on the part of Avraham Avinu to Asu Mishmeres L'Mishmarti, to create a siyag and a gader, that's how Avraham Avinu was successful in having an impact on his descendants. And that's what it means. Minayin hoyodea Moshe shu yom. How did Moshe know when it was day and when it was night? He was up on the mountain for 40 days and 40 nights. It was way high above the atmosphere, so how did he know? When Hashem was teaching him the written Torah, it sounds like Moshe split his time, you know. Every day is split into 12 hours and 12 hours. So 12 hours he studied Torah Shebichsav, and 12 hours Torah Shebalpeh. And Moshe Rabbeinu knew that if he was studying the written Torah, which is always called the R, it's called light, then it was yom. But if he was studying Torah Shebal Peh means the Torah that the Rabbanon passed on, you know, the Mechadesh Chidushim, and they transmitted those Chidushim to other generations, that's Laila. Torah Shebal Peh is Laila. And the Iker of the Laila is the Golos, and the Iker of the Golos is Torah Shebal Peh. So the Torah Shebal Peh represents, he says, the Siyagim. This is Rabbi Simcha Vidvinsk. I didn't say it. You know, if I said it, you can fight with me. But if you want to fight with someone, you have to fight with Rabbi Simcha Vidvinsk. I hope you all know who he was. I mean, now it's called Dagopol's. I was there on a trip for the Misrad Achut sent us. So we went to Dagopol's. Anyway, so Iker Torah Shebal Peh. What is the Iker, the main part of Torah Shebal Peh? It's Siyagim and Gedorim. And those are necessary to be Mekayim the Das. So we went into Golus. And why do we go into Golus? Because we weren't Omeid, we weren't dedicated to Shmiras, V'yosu Mishmeres, Mishmarti, to Siyagim. Lachain hereby Torah B'Siyagim Gabi Pesach, we spoke about Bayiro Bayimotzei. We spoke about Isha Betumas Nidas Lo Sikrevu, and Rabbi Simcha wants to say Lo Seitzu Ish Mi Pesach Pesad Boker, that a person shouldn't leave the entry of his house. Shekol Adam Yenigdar Umakushar. What it means on a drush level, homiletically, is the bias represents his people, his nation. Don't even go out, because if you go out towards the other nations and you violate all the siyagim and the gedarim, then Lo Yeh Or Eloki Mofi Aleha, that out there amongst the nations you'll see a negative influence, and it's antithetical to the Or, to the light of the divine being, and Asakona Gdola, and then it's a great danger, Shol Yisarvu Bein Umos, you might get mixed up with the nations, the Avdu Kiyumam, and will lose. So again, the maintenance and the dedication to Siyagim is absolutely critical. And here's where Rav Yosef Engel, which you'll have to turn your page to the side, based on the Chizkuni, the Chizkuni. Now we're connecting to next week's parsha. The Chizkuni on the pasuk of. No, I'm sorry, my mistake. The Chizkuni on last week's parsha, meaning on Akrimos, the first of the two parshas that we read yesterday, says the Kiso bi'ofar. Why do we cover the dam bi'ofar? So not like we saw in the name of the Rambam and the Ramban, it's lafuke to exclude from the Avodah Zorah, from all those cults and paganistic idol worship, but rather kedosh lo yiroi lachila. Because the previous pasuk, as we saw on page 293, says kol nefesh mikem lo yochal dam. So how do we avoid dam? Says Rav Yosef Engel, matzasi od siag bidoraisa. Right, we saw that the Ovester of Nosson and other Mepharshim are looking for precedence to this concept of a siag she'osa Torah l'dvareh, that the Torah itself made a siag. Says Rav Yosef Engel, I found a siag in the Torah that nobody knows about, and that's called Kisi Adam. And why? Why is Kisi Adam a siag? He says that the reason for the mitzvah of Kisi Adam, he found in the Rashbam, is because kidei shelo yavo liochla, that by covering the dam with the dirt, with the afar, he will train himself not to have any, he would not drink dam. Because after he covers it with afar, is eno roy od lachila, it's no longer fit for human consumption. And therefore he'll never come to eat the dam. So when a person covers the dam, he is covering the dam in order to prevent himself from coming to eat the dam, which is an Issa Koretz. So this is a classical case of a siag shosa Torah l'dvareh, and that's what the Chizkuni says, v'chiso bi'ofar kidei shlo yaroi le'achila. And now if we just summarize what we've said today, it comes out like this. There are a number of pieces of the puzzle here as far as Kisi Adam. Kisi Adam is in the middle. It's the hub that connects so many things together. Number one, it connects the idea of tsar, that a person who is denied the possibility of doing a mitzvah, despite the fact that Hashem will give him schar for it as if he did the mitzvah, but he still has a level of tsar, and he suffers for the fact that he cannot do this mitzvah, he doesn't have the opportunity to do this mitzvah. And what is this mitzvah? So the Rambam and the Ramban say that this mitzvah is, so to speak, to detract from and make fun of the Avodah Zarah, because they put all the Avodah Zarah power into the dam. And we want to now, you know, humiliate the dam, so to speak. And how do we detract from the dam? By covering it with afar. And that is an act in which we mezalzel and mevayish the dam. But yet, since we're doing it l'shem shamayim, it becomes a means to an end of fulfilling the will of God. And therefore we have to do it with a tremendous sense of kavod, with respect. And that's why Rabbi Yosef says, havur dekul and dam, instead of implementing the mitzvah in a way that is more appropriate for the mitzvah itself internally, which would mean a zilzal act, we're going to do it in the most mechubedik. And why? Because through the mitzvah would be mechaved HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And why is this mitzvah of Kisi Adam so significant? The answer is that the Chachamim open up Pirkei Avos by telling us Hasus Yod LaTorah. Rabbi Simcha says that that's the key to our success. Why were we zochet to Yitzias Mitzrayim, to the Gula from Mitzrayim? Because we were careful about the Siyagim. We didn't want to mix with the Goyim. And not only that, the concept of Siyag is essential for Kedusha, because Kadish Atzmacha B'mutulcha, this is the way a person could see to it that he stays away, he doesn't get too close to an Aver that might tempt him. Stay away from the Yitzhar. You get too close, he's got you in your clutches. And that's the message of Kisi Adam. How do we stay away from the Avera of Dam? We cover it, and we make it into Nifsal Me'achilas Adam, and that's the way that we can be Mekayim this principle of Asu Mishmeres Mishmarti, which is the essence of Kedoshim Tiyu, Yiratzom Yipi, His will, that we can all in our lifetimes accept upon ourselves those Kabbalas that are meaningful and necessary for ourselves, only if the situation arises. And we should take this mitzvah of Kisi Adam as the paradigm of staying far away from something that might tempt a person, and therefore we'll live lives of Kedusha, we'll respect the mitzvah, because the mitzvah represents the fulfillment of the divine command of the commander-in-chief, and in that way, Mirtz Hashem will be zochet to reach higher levels of spirituality of Kiddusha that leads to Tzidkus, to be Tzaddikim and Chassidim, Keni Ratzon. Amen.
Okay. I don't understand the end of Rabbi Yosef.